Good morning. My intention was to go through the first 20 verses or the parable that we have laid before us in Mark chapter 4, but I got hung up on one word. And this one word is in verse 3, and it says, hearken, hearken, or in some English translations is listen. Listen, because that is the theme of Mark chapter 4, and it's also the theme of the following parables, is to listen or to hear. When you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 9, it says, he says unto them, he that have ears to hear, let them hear. This is a very common phrase we even find in Revelation to the churches. In Mark chapter 4, and verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. So there's some sort of hearing without understanding. This is a quotation from Isaiah. Then in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, this is taken from the parable. There are those by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, it says, they that were sown on the stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Then down at verse 18, it talks about those sown among thorns, as such as hear the word. And verse 20, those that are on good ground, they have heard the word and they receive it. Not just hearing it, but receive it, and thereby bringing forth fruit. And then, of course, the phrase again in verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. And then finally, in verse 33, it says, there were many such parables spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. The key to unlocking the meaning of parables is to hear. But the Bible's understanding of hearing is different than our understanding or usage of the word hear or to hear or hearing today. It's not just to perceive sounds. It's not just the ringing, the vibrations of the eardrums. It is to understand. Maybe our understanding is, did you hear the birds chirping in the morning? Well, we're asking, did you perceive the sound? But we're not asking you to act upon it. There's no action associated with this hearing. And the Bible's usage involves action. It's akin to a parent saying to his son, did you hear me that you are not supposed to bring your muddy shoes into the house? In this instance, the son is supposed to listen and obey the parent's instruction. And that's the sense of the word to hear in the Bible. There's an action or obedience associated with hearing. And in fact, the Greek word for obey is a compound word meaning hyper-hearing or super-hearing. It gives an instance or understanding of what obedience is. And that is what God desires for us when we hear parables, when we read His Word. There is obedience upon hearing. Imagine in the Old Testament, there is King David. There was, after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his sin of murder of Uriah, he's listening to the prophet Nathan tell about the parable about the rich man and the poor man, and how the rich man, despite him having many sheep, well, he took the one sheep of the poor man and killed it for a guest. And David didn't go, well, thanks, Nathan, for story time. No, there was action involved. David realized his sin and he repented. Now I mentioned that in the New Testament, the Greek word for hearing is a separate word for, or sorry, in the New Testament, hearing and obeying are two separate words, but they're related, they're associated with one another because our obedience is formed on the word hearing. But in the Old Testament, it's actually a bit more, I would say, poetic or beautiful. In the English Bible, we have in the Old Testament the word to hear and to obey. In Hebrew, it is actually one word, Shema. If you turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, Deuteronomy is Moses' exhortation to the Israelites before they enter the promised land. And the idea here is if you hear and you obey, there will be blessings. And so in chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses writes, "Now therefore hearken," which is the word Shema, "O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them and to live, ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers giveth you." And then again, just flipping over to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, Shema, O Israel, thy judgments, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, Moses says, "Listen." He says, "Hear, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all thy soul and all thy might." And Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 1, Moses says again, "Hear, Shema, O Israel, you shall pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven." You see, the word Shema means to hear. And if we turn back to Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, in verse 15, this is the angel of the Lord which called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast Shema," or obeyed. It's the same word as hearing my voice. Again, in Genesis 27, verse 8, this is just Rebekah giving simple instruction to her son Jacob. "Now therefore, my son, obey," or Shema, "my voice, according to that which I command thee." In the Bible, or in the Old Testament, Shema means to listen and to obey. It's one word. You can't split it and say, "Well, I'm just going to listen." No, when there's listening, there's also obedience. They're two sides of the same coin. So a child may say to his parent, "Yes, mom and dad, I will listen and obey as you have instructed." He's essentially saying in Hebrew, "I will Shema and Shema, as you have instructed." So do we Shema, or do we listen and obey to God's instruction? Are we hearers, and as James says, doers of God's word? The world and the church has enough passive hearers. What we need is doers. And understanding the word, the Hebrew word Shema, also gives us a deeper understanding of the prayers of the psalmist. Remember, Shema means to listen and to obey. And it gives us this understanding in Psalm 27 and verse 7. Psalm 27 verse 7 says, "Hear," or "Shema, O Lord." This is the psalmist praying to God. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry unto my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me." You see, asking God to hear our prayers is not just asking him to sit there and hear us and say, "Yes, I've listened to you," and no action is involved. No, there is an invocation upon God to act. "Hear, O Lord, and act upon my cry." In Psalm 34, the title says it's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. And it says in verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard," or "Shema him, and he saved him out of all his troubles." Now, the context of Psalm 34 is found in 1 Samuel 21. David was fleeing from King Saul and found himself in the Philistine city of Gath. Now, remember, David was in enemy territory. And they even have a song for David. Saul killed his thousands, and David killed his 10,000s. He had also killed Goliath. And so David would not be welcome in the land of the Philistines. And he was in trouble, but it was not God that just heard David, heard his cry, and said, "Yes, I hear you're in trouble." But he acted upon that cry. He heard David and saved David. There's this action involved with hearing. And so when we turn back to our text in Mark chapter 4, this is the understanding of the word hearken, listen, hear. It's not just a passive hearing where I sit and I perceive sound. You see, Jesus uses the same understanding of this word, hear. It means to listen and to obey. Hence, Jesus says in Mark 4 and verse 9, he says, "He who have ears to hear, let him hear." What Jesus is actually saying is, if you have ears to hear, let him listen and obey. Listening and obeying to God helps direct and guide us in our lives to make the correct and God-honoring decisions in life. In a documentary about George Washington, it is said that even though he is the president of the United States, the first president, well, he listened to the opinions of his peers, or not his peers, but those under him. And he implemented some of those opinions. And listening to them helped guide him to make good decisions for the U.S. And it's kind of like that with regards to God's word, with God's law. If we listen and obey to God's word, not a portion, but all of our decisions will be good decisions because they honor God. And God rewards obedience. So what does it mean to hearken? What does it mean to listen or to obey? Well, in this, we get a greater sense in John. So if you turn, please keep your finger at Mark chapter 4, but turn over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And this is the account of Jesus' first, the beginning of his miracles, of turning the water into wine. And it says in John chapter 2, just from the beginning, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when man had well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. And this is the beginning of the miracles which Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. You see, Jesus was at a wedding feast with his disciples, and it appears that the hosts had run out of wine. And Mary had instructed the servants of the party to listen and to obey, to hear Jesus, to listen to Jesus. And so in verse 5 is for our meditation. It says, His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So what can we learn about hearing, about listening? Well, first, hearing is comprehensive. It says, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever is in the Bible for us, front cover to back. We are to listen and to obey it, not just the parts that we like. We know we select some portions here, we select some portions there. It's the whole Bible. It says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That means it's useful for teaching us what we need to do. Then it's profitable for reproof. Another word for reproof is rebuke. That means it's to tell you you have done something wrong. It's like a speeding ticket or a parking violation that tells you you are not supposed to drive this fast. You're not supposed to park here. Then it's useful for correction. Once you have done something wrong, well, we need to know what is the correct path or what's the correct way. And that we need to be guided to the right path. And then it is useful for instruction in righteousness. They're to continue in this path of righteousness and godliness and holiness in the right relationship with God. And so hearing is comprehensive. All scripture is to be listened to. But there is also a good illustration here in the miracle itself. We are to listen fully. Jesus says to fill the water pots with water in verse 7. And they filled it not just halfway, not just a quarter or three quarters. They filled it, it says, to the brim. They filled it to the brim. They filled it to the fullest capacity of the pots. Essentially, any drop more and it would overflow. The servants could have filled it halfway. They could have filled it three quarters of the way. But you see, the water or the wine that would have come out from it wouldn't have been as much. If they filled it halfway, they would only have half or three water pots of wine. If they filled it three quarters of the way, well, they only have 75%. And likewise, that is how God rewards us. If we fully obey Him, comprehensively obey Him, there is also a fullness in the blessing. God rewards our obedience. To Abraham, God says in Genesis 22 and verse 18, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed. You have Shema, my voice. In Luke 11, verse 28, he says, Blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it. You see, God blesses obedience. And God blesses our full obedience. Another good example is the conquest of Canaan. Remember the promised land. Joshua and the Israelites were to go in and conquer it. After they had finished conquering the land, well, there remained these small pockets of Canaanites that were inhabiting the land. Now, instead of driving out these Canaanites, instead of destroying them as instructed by God, well, the Israelites opted to bind these Canaanites in a covenant, one of servitude. So these Canaanites would perhaps serve or pay some sort of tithe to Israel. But you see, after this was done, after this binding of this covenant, of this contract with the Canaanites, several of the tribes came back to Joshua and complained. They said, you haven't given us enough land in Canaan or in the promised land. But you see, it wasn't that God reduced the portion of the land given to them. It was the Israelites that failed in their obedience to drive out the Canaanites. And because of their lack of obedience, they suffered in the reward. And so God blesses our full obedience. So hearing is comprehensive. Secondly, hearing is exclusive. It says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. God is a jealous God and demands that we serve him only. Mary didn't say, listen to what Jesus says and to also what the bridegroom says. No, he says, listen to what he, to Jesus. It's exclusive. Likewise for us, we are to listen exclusively to God. No man can serve two masters, right? You either hate the one and love the other. You can't hold on to one, or else it will cause you to despise the other. You cannot serve God and money both. God demands that we obey him exclusively. Of course, that doesn't mean we disobey our parents. We also disobey higher authority. God has placed in his sovereign will parents, godly parents, to bring us up or bring children up in the way of the Lord. God has also placed ruling authorities to govern the land. And it is only when there is a conflict within society and God's word where we act like Peter and the apostles and say that we ought to obey God rather than men. And this is because obedience is an act of worship. Obedience is an act of worship. When Paul tells us in Romans that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, that's a command to us, to be holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service or our reasonable worship. We realize that worship or obedience is worship. Obedience is worship to God. And to King Saul, God says it is better to obey than to sacrifice, because in the end, obedience reveals our heart. It reveals that we love God. It reveals that we will submit to him. It's an indication of our inward love for God. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, obey my commandments, do my commandments. And so hearing is exclusive to God's commands. So hearing is comprehensive. Hearing is exclusive. Hearing is also active. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. In the miracle, well, the servants went out and followed and obeyed with action. In Deuteronomy, there is the exhortation to learn God's statutes, learn his judgment, to keep it and to do it. There is action involved. And there seems to be an indication back in Mark chapter 4. In our text, we have the parable of the sower. Some people would call it the parable of the soils. And we hear that there, or we read into the verbs employed here to understand that hearing is active. Now, when it says to those that fell on the stony ground, when if those that fell on the wayside and those that fell on the soil that had thorns, the verbs employed is in the past tense. It's one and done. You hear or you heard, and then they're choked up and they die. But there's a change in the usage of the verbs in those that fell on the soil. Those that fell on the good soil, it says that they continue or they grew. And in the Greek, it's used in the continuous sense, in the sense that you are growing and you continue to grow. It's not done yet. You bring forth 30, some bring forth 60, some bring forth 100-fold, but it continues to grow. There is action involved. There's progression. And so it is with us if we listen and obey. There is growing or growth in a relationship with Christ. So what is the problem with our hearing? Why is it that especially in this parable, there are some that hear and then there are some that do hear? And why is it that even those that hear, there are some that can only hear to the effect that they bring forth 30-fold, some bring forth 60-fold, and some bring forth 100-fold? Well, if we look at Hebrews chapter 5, the writer says, "Of whom we have many things to say." Apparently, the writer has many things to teach the readers and the recipients of this letter. And it says, "It was hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." See, the problem is not dull preaching, although I would trade all my talents in exchange to be a better preacher. But dull hearing is the issue. And oftentimes it is because we're not listening. Back in grade 6 French immersion, I remember a student, as we were learning French, saying this phrase, "Je ne peux pas écouter." Now, this is what translated in English means, "I can't listen." Now, what the student wanted to say was, "I can't hear." I can't hear, which is another verb in French, because there is some background noise in the classroom. But that's what the problem is with us, is not that I cannot hear, but we are not listening. We're not listening. So how can we listen better? Well, some points for our application. Well, number one, prepare ourselves to listen. Prepare ourselves to listen. Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." We can't meditate on God's word if we're restless and tired. If we're restless and tired. I remember trying to go to lecture in university with minimal sleep. You end up just sleeping in class. There is no hearing, no listening going on. So prepare ourselves to listen. It requires us to prepare ourselves the night before, to have ample sleep, to pray, to prepare our hearts to receive God's word and to worship. So, number one, we are to prepare ourselves to listen. Number two, we are to ask questions. In Proverbs 18 and verse 2, it says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." Essentially, what he's saying is the fool wants to express his own opinions and he doesn't care, has no delight in understanding. Take time to ask questions about the text. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And it's the same when I was doing my graduate studies. We have these weekly seminars where we would come together and discuss a recent publication or a recent scientific article. And it was highly encouraged for the students, not the professors, to ask questions. And we always thought, well, we're students, we have dumb questions. But the thing is, what we learned is by asking questions and getting answers, we start to learn. We start to have developed this critical thinking. So ask questions. Now a bit more personal in terms of listening to God. Be patient in listening. Thirdly, be patient in listening. Proverbs 18, verse 13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him." Sometimes we just want to impose our own opinion on a text and sometimes or a circumstance in our life, and we, before we even listen to God, well, we already made up our mind. Well, be patient in listening. Be patient in hearing what God has for us. And fourthly, avail ourselves to listen. Avail ourselves to listen. Jesus often went alone to pray, to communicate with God the Father, so that he may plead to God and he may also listen to God. Do we take time away from our lives, our busy lives, to listen to God, to read his word, so that we may know what he has in his will for us? Do we listen and obey? Do we shema? Are we shema-ing today? So God says to listen and to obey. Hearing involves comprehensive hearing. It involves an exclusive hearing. It involves an active hearing. And it is to those that hear like this that can unlock, I would say, the secrets of the parables. Jesus says there are those that hear the parables, but they don't understand. They don't perceive it. That is because they are not hearing. You see, the parables are not just feel-good stories. They are actually there to challenge us. In the time, in the circumstance where they were written or told, they were there to challenge the people that were listening, the hearers. For us, they are also to challenge us to hear and to act upon it. So are we listening and obeying? Do we shema today? May this help us to understand what God wants us to do. It's not just to be passive and to hear, but there is an active sense. There is an active obedience in our walk with him. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that you have not left us in the dark to figure out what is honoring to you. And so we pray that you may help us to obey all your word, to listen to it, to take time to listen to you. And it is by your grace, by the sense being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we can know what you have for us, what you want us to do. And we pray that we will hearken unto your word, hearken unto your commands, that we will choose what is honoring and glorifying to you. For obedience is worship. It's an act of worship. And that it may be as even a sweet-smelling savor unto you. So help us to obey. Help us to listen. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.